Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
Hey, Alex. How you doing, buddy?
Just us this week, big guy.
Just you and me.
I'm off the hook. Don't need to come up with some crazy San Francisco. So last week, we talked all about what some of our resolutions are for the year 2021. And you had one right out the gate you've been working on, which is... You want to lose 50 lbs this year.
Minimum 50 libs. Minimum
lbs.
Yes.
And to make things like that happen, accountability is key. So we are doing a check-in this week to see how things are going. But before we dive into that, I'll talk a little bit about Athletic Greens, as you can hear. I feel good. Diet's been balanced. Been having a lot of smoothies. I'm having four salads a week for meals. So it's like, no matter what, 4 days a week, I have a salad for lunch or dinner is like been my kind of my main goal. And then at night, always definitely a good healthy dose of greens and then a lean meat. And then only like some carb that has been made, not like a packaged like chip or something like that. It's like a rice or sweet potato. We do I guess kale chips are a green, but sometimes that'll be our solution for a green and a carb. So I love grilled corn on the cob. Gotta do it. No, it's not the best for me, but I just gotta get in there, baby, and grill the corn. But I feel pretty good. I feel locked in terms of my other goals. I'm working away. I'm being more vocal. I'm being more proud, and I'm sure we'll do a check-in that focuses more on me. But this week, I want to talk about you, Steve. How's it going?
Dude, it's going really good. In my first sort of weigh-in, I've lost 5 pounds. So that feels good. Yeah. That feels good.
Give yourself a coin.
Oh, hold on one sec. Where's that coin at? I'll take the coin. Yeah, it's going really good. You know, it's funny. I have to have a few more salads than you, you know, cause I got to lose a little more than you, but, I pretty much have.
I'd 70 miles a week.
Yeah. I pretty much have salad, every day for lunch. I got a good little chopped salad. I hit up the, Italian deli, get some mushrooms and some tomatoes that I pop in there. Just a good mix, some green beans, artichoke hearts, all kinds of good stuff.
One thing I will tell you, because that we're bearing our souls as best friends on the show, I wish I had the veggie palate that you have. I just don't have as broad a veggie palate as you. If I did, bro, I would be yoked. I would be the skinniest, most shredded guy ever if I had the veggie palate that you have, or like Sarah has. I'm really doing my best to like broaden that palate, but man, it just sounds like you're living in salad heaven over there.
Amber makes it. It's a good salad. But that, you know, it's all about sort of, it's not like there's no fad diet. I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing keto. I'm not doing, the zone or whatever the hell it is, or Weight Watchers really, or anything like that. I'm walking at least a minimum of 3.5 miles a day. If I can, I'll get on the treadmill. I'd like to eventually get to where I was when I talked about in the last show in 2016, where I did that walk on top of hitting the treadmill or a hike with some good incline, at least burning 500 calories a day on that session alone.
That's a really good day, by the way. 500 calories is a really good day. I do, my rides are, my average ride is 20 miles and that's about 600 calories. So if you're burning 600 cals, dude, that's a solid focus day. Don't let these gym CrossFit freaks.
No. I don't.
I lie to you about what a real burn is.
Whenever I've had success has been when I've basically stuck to a routine that was not going to burn me out. And turned into a thing where it was like, I can't miss this. It wasn't a thing of, and listen, no shade to people who CrossFit works for you, whatever works for you, you do you. What works for me is a big, like 300 pound plus six foot three guy where I've had the best results and the most like long-term sort of keeping those results for a long time have been when I have stuck to a non-invasive routine that I just felt really good and I made good decisions. And every now and again, I had a little cheat or I didn't deprive myself of that In-N-Out burger or whatever when I wanted it. I just wasn't having it every day. And I made sure that no matter what, I was burning at least those amount of calories. And really what it did is it got me into cooking more. It got me into expanding my veggie palate more. All of these things, that it's one of those things where I talked about in the last episode where I looked at a photo from like 2016 and I went, shit, you know, and I want to get back there and I totally can get back there. And, thankfully I've been cooking up a storm, making it fun, getting excited for what yummy, you know, thing am I going to make for my quasi cheat meal on my Friday night or my Saturday night, and not feeling like I'm bound.
So let's talk about, because obviously like what you're talking about too is this idea of balance.
Right.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about before we get into because I know you got some fun recipes for us from our favorite chef to help people kind of get into some cooking, but like, let's talk a little bit about if you were going to make a healthy salad, like what's the move? What are you making? Cause I guarantee you there's gotta be someone listening at home who's like, I want to lose weight. I gained weight over quarantine and I'm trying to eat healthier. What would you tell them, Steve?
What would I tell them? I'd say, do you have an oven or do you have a barbecue? Pick up some boneless, skinless chicken breast, season it with a little salt, a little fresh cracked pepper, a little fresh cracked pep.
Little EVO,
little dollop, nothing too crazy, just enough to just kind of make it a little shiny. Throw it in the oven for 20 minutes, bake it, you know, maybe 400, 450 degrees, pull it out, you know, however you like it. I personally don't, I prefer my chicken a little more cooked than undercooked, actually. I'm really weird. I have a weird thing with chicken. Or I'd grill it. And if you want,
I prefer it a little burned on the grill. I like a little char.
I do too. And if you want to grill it, maybe put it in a little little Ziploc bag, throw in some olive oil, fresh cracked pep, maybe some little diced up garlic, maybe some lemon juice and some lemon zest, little red pepper flake, you know, that never hurt nobody. Throw that on the grill.
How long would you marinate that for?
Dude, anywhere from an hour to 24 hours, like overnight. Honestly, it doesn't have to be crazy. Just look in your pan. It's all about looking at what you have and like, go, hey, I like those flavors and throwing them together, right? So you do the chicken, you grill the chicken up. You got spinach. I'm a big fan of spinach. Grab some spinach, grab some red onion, grab some baby tomatoes. You got.
What's your go-to green? Spinach?
Yeah. I mean, I love romaine and whatnot, but there's no like nutritional value in romaine, right? But I do love a good romaine.
I'm really discovering a love for fib. Little gem and bib is good.
Oh, love bib. But I'm a big, I love arugula. I love baby arugula. That with just some lemon juice and some cracked pepper on it. I could mow down on that. But really for like your salad, grab some spinach, grab whatever lettuce you have. I would grab spinach if it was me or like a spring mix. Maybe chop up. You got some baby carrots in your fridge, you know, that's been sitting there. You haven't dipped it in the hummus in a while. Grab a couple of those, chop them up into little circles, little red onion. Do you have some goat cheese laying around? Throw some goat cheese in it. You know, a little bit of that, a little olive oil, a little balsamic, again, fresh cracked pep, maybe a sprinkle of salt if you want, if you got some good tomatoes, cucumbers, really good, really easy. And it with some grilled chopped chicken on top, can't go wrong. That's a great lunch.
How often are you having a lunch like that? Every day, pretty much?
Right now, I have a lunch like that every day.
Every day.
Like, that's pretty much my lunch every day. And some days, I'll have, like, a sparkling, like, if I'm feeling like I want to switch it up, I'll have, like, a sparkling water. I really like this brand, Waterloo.
Sarah loves Waterloo.
I love it. It's weird.
That's her favorite of those.
I'm a sparkling water connoisseur, but I got to tell you, it's got, like, an aftertaste that reminds me of Skittles.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I might try it.
But yeah, it's a really simple, just like salad, whatever you got. You got some garbanzo beans, some kidney beans, like throw some of that in there, you know,
Beans in there, dog,
whatever, man, you know, good fiber. It's all, but the most important thing is always for me is this water, staying hydrated. Just in the last 2 weeks alone, just making sure that I drink four of these, How many ounces is this thing?
That's a big boy. Four of those is a good amount of water.
Like I minimum try and do that, and I'm not good at it, but remembering to take my vitamins, I'm noticing a huge difference. You know, I take
well, that's why I like Athletic Greens.
Right.
That's why I like Athletic Greens. And this, we're not sponsored by Athletic yeah. Greens. You probably heard of them on other podcasts. That's how I heard about it. This is not like Athletic Greens didn't send me a ton of shit and I just, you know, now we have to talk about it on the show. Like, that's not what we're doing. But that's why I like Athletic Greens, because it's like a scoop in the morning in your water. And it kind of tastes like almost like a little bit like kind of a pineapple, like a really faint pineapple
juice. How much water are you putting it in?
Just a regular glass.
Oh, okay. Just a regular glass of water?
Like a 12-ounce glass. That's like 12 ounces, right? Like okay. Just a standard glass. You fill it with cold water. You scoop it. I'll send you the link on Amazon if you want to check it out. Because yeah. It's supposed to be – because when you drink it with water like that, it absorbs in your system much better. And the reason why I like this one is because it has prebiotic and probiotic already in it. And like for me, that's a big thing just because I'm such an anxious, stressed out dude. That gut health, baby.
Got to get on that probiotics, baby.
That probiotic gut health, dog.
Yeah.
So you might want to check out Athletic Greens for a little bit of that. Like, because the vitamin's key, dude,
yes.
To take those vitamins.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I take my vitamin D. I got my vitamin C. I got my vitamin B. I take my fish oil because you got to have that nice hair. You know what I'm saying? Make sure I take a probiotic. I'm a big fan of the EPS Probies. I'm a big proponent of kombucha. I have been for damn near 15 years, and I'm glad to
see that. That's a lot of probiotic, right?
That's a lot of probiotic, but I'm glad to see it. Like, now you can get it at every like gas station now practically. And it's a great hangover cure if you're still drinking out there. But yeah, man, it's one of those things. Listen, I'm a 300 plus pound, 6'3" guy. I'm the last person that should be giving any sort of nutritional advice. But I can tell you what's worked for me and the path I'm currently on. And I'm sure I'll hit a hiccup here and there, but, you know,
I think it's very easy to say, I'm a bigger guy. I'm the last person that should be giving advice on this. But you know, the truth of the matter is you eat healthier. When you're in your locked in zone, you eat very healthy. I can attest as your friend. Your thing has always been staying in that zone.
Right.
And quarantine is hard. Because as somebody who struggles with dieting, staying in the zone is the hardest thing. And I know for you, it'll happen where like you and I, we're definitely like when we get stressed and things get tough and like we're like I'm in a bad mood, you and I both turn to like, fuck dude, I need a nuggie or something. I need nuggies or like I need some fry, like something to kind of like calm. It's almost like a little bit of an anxiety, like kind of brings us down a little bit. But you, I know when you get locked in, because you and I was very close. It was leading up to this show.
Yeah.
That you were on that seriously, like you were plugged
for like 2 years
in. For 2 years, you were super, super plugged in.
Yeah.
How much weight did you lose on your like biggest run? 100 pounds?
Yeah, almost 100 pounds was that run. Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of weight.
Yeah, and a lot of that had to do with, you know, first cutting out the booze, you know. A lot. I mean, that's a big thing right there, because I like those IPAs.
You do.
I like those IPAs, and I can put them down.
You like bread water, dude.
Yeah.
You like beer that you can cut with a knife, like slice it
yeah.
and eat it. Like, you like thick beer.
Yeah.
I remember that, Steve, too.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when Stevie would have an arrogant bastard look over to me, and he's just a little sweatier than normal. Just a little sweatier. So what is it? So that's a tough one for people, I'm assuming. What is it? Is alcohol one of those things where you just have to be like, I'm not doing it?
It's because
you're not a heavy drinker at all.
Oh, but I am.
You're clearly cutting it out. You are?
Oh, I would say for sure. I mean, I'm definitely like, if I compared myself to my contemporary friends that I grew up with who definitely at times had problems, I never had like problems like that. But I definitely, in terms of being able to, like, I could go out and have a night, even still now at 39 years old. I could go out right now with you if I didn't have Amber or a kid or nothing, and I could totally go have a night like I did 10 years ago. Granted, it would hurt a little bit. It would hurt much more the next day. But I definitely still have that in me where I could go tie one off, no problem.
Yeah.
Like I definitely, you know, have those things. It's all about just being restrained and being like, so I definitely have a thing where I could go, you know, and not stop. And so that's something that over the many years I have, done my own personal sort of, work to not do that. To just make the decision to not do that. Now there are, I probably have once a year, once every other year or so where I have a moment of fuck it, you know, and
but that's good.
And
that's balanced.
And just sort of, you know, let it go. But you know, that's been a lot of work too. You know, that has been a lot of work to curb that side of me. But you know, for me personally, it's sort of like with cigarettes, you know, I just hit 5 years no cigarettes and, you know, that was a cold turkey thing. And that is the hardest thing I think I've ever done. You know, as cliche as that sounds, it's one of those things where, you know, even as, you know, pre-pandemic still, like I would get into an elevator and I could tell if someone in the elevator had, that's no longer on the elevator that was on before me, had a cigarette. Like I could pick that up and I still am not like, oh, gross. I'm like, oh, I remember those days. You know, it's always still sort of lurking there that it's sort of like, oh yeah, I remember just like having a nice glass of Jameson or a scotch or something and smoking a cigarette in those days and like fantasizing about that. But like, I just burped on camera or on the mic. I'll never have.
It's a fiber, dog.
I know.
Garbanzo beads. Just a little fresh crack pep, little EVO. Yeah.
But like, I'll never have a cigarette again, ever, you know? So, for me, it's a cold turkey thing. It's the same thing where when I quit the booze and I was on that regiment you talked about, it was, I just went cold turkey. You know, if I'm allowed to sort of slowly wean off something, I'll never wean off of it because I'll just keep sipping that drip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'll just keep sipping that drip and eventually it's like, oh, I can have a little bit more. Oh, I can have a little bit more. And before you know it, it's just like, well, what happened to that? What are you talking about? Shut up. Leave me alone. What do you, you know, like, yeah. What is this? Biggest yeah, loser? I'll, what is this? Biggest loser? Get out of here. I'll get back to it. Leave me alone.
Yeah, I'll get back to it.
So, you know, it's funny you say it. It's like I clearly have like an addictive personality with certain things. But I try to, as I get older and whatnot, all you can do is try. And so, especially right now with the pandemic, with how 2021 has gone so far. It was like, you know what? You reach a wall, you reach a point in every time, at least for me personally, when I do these kinds of things, I reach a wall where it's just like, I need to change here. I can't keep doing this right now.
You yeah. know?
And so right now, after everything that's been going on this last 2020, That's where I'm at. I'm just sort of like, something needs to change because the outside world's not changing right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Twitter's not changing. Twitter did change a little, but you know what I mean?
You might as well spend the like next 5 months just getting into tip top.
I should have been doing it from the moment this pandemic happened, but you know,
It was still kind of fun, dude.
It was fun.
Remember Big Sticks? That was Big a thing Sticks? For a while.
Yeah, that yeah. was a thing.
I We're still not have talking about them.
I still can't have, talk I, about them. I should them. Throw those away. I still have a few of those in my freezer.
Can't talk about them. Talk about them. All right. Let's give people at home. So we talk a lot about, you know, salads. Everybody's like, oh, salads, this. Cheat meals. Now, cheat meals are a big thing. And it's funny to talk about on a diet, to talk about the cheat meal specifically, but what you do that's interesting is your cheat meals are more like special meals as opposed to like, I know you, for a cheat meal, you'll do like, I'm going to Burgers Never Say Die or I'm getting pizza. Like you'll do that for a cheat meal, but you'll also do almost like special meals where you're right. like, I'm going to make something that's a little richer, but at least I know what's in it and I'm controlling it. And I'm like trying this, like something that I would normally like kind of splurge on, I'm now going to make it at home. Tell me a little bit about that process.
So, you know, Amber and I always have, since we started dating, we've always had sort of what we dubbed a Sunday meal, you know, which it doesn't make sense because why would you eat a big old bowl of pasta with fresh sauce and garlic bread and all that stuff? And then, you know, good luck waking up for work in the morning. Like, you're going to sleep terrible. You're going to be bloated. For sure. But I just always call them like Sunday meal, where it's just sort of, it doesn't have to be on a Sunday, but I'll decide that tonight's going to be a pasta night or a tortellini night or a ravioli night. And I'm going to take my grandma's recipe for her sauce. And I'm going to take some other ingredients, some things from the local Italian deli. And I'm just going to do like spaghetti dinner night where we're carving it up. Maybe I'll make a side salad. Probably not. And that's what we're going to do. And it's going to be sort of like family meal. You know, I love, love, love pho. And I was craving pho and I hate takeout pho. Now pho's not,
soup's not a great takeout item.
No. And you can't have soup lukewarm. And also like pho's not technically not like a bad for you meal by any means. I mean, sure there can be, and if you're not in control of it, tons of sodium in it, just like any meal you get outside of your house.
Yeah.
But I was craving pho. And I didn't want to do takeout. I didn't want to do order. I don't want the lukewarm. So I was like, you know, I got our boy Roy Choi's cookbook. He's got pho in there. Let me check out his recipe, what he's got going on over there.
What's the name of the book? What's the book?
So the book is L.A. Sun, Roy Choi, My Life, My City, My Food. And it's sort of like his biography, autobiography, but interspersed through it all, it's also a cookbook with all kinds of recipes. Alex has this book. I think Cisco has this book. There's tons of great recipes in here. If you're on like a, definitely this is something for most 99.9% of the recipes in here for the most part are for these kinds of meals, in my opinion. If you're going to have them, they're not really too diet friendly. You're not making kimchi fried rice on a diet. I mean, although you could, no. I'm sure in a healthy way, but I was craving pho. So I opened up Roy Choi's book and I found pho. It's titled Pho for Dem Hoes.
Faux for dem hoes.
And I got to tell you, some people would look at this recipe, like I'm willing to bet, like while I'm making this recipe and I'm looking at it, I'm thinking Alex would be so stressed out right now. Because Alex would be like, where, and that could be wrong, and I don't mean to offend you if I am.
No.
But like I could see Alex look at this and go, okay, the broth, 10 pounds of beef bones? Where the fuck am I going to get 10 pounds of beef bones?
I already hate cooking this.
You know what I mean?
You can make it for me. So what are you doing?
I'm telling you right now, you're going to Whole Foods. You're following. You can get everything you want at Whole Foods for this recipe. You can probably get it too at Pavilions. The hardest part is that you're going to be able to have finding if you go to a regular grocery store.
There's beef bones.
No. Beef bones. You can go to the butcher. You can go wherever in the deli and ask them you want bones to make broth and they'll give them to you. But the hardest thing is probably going to be finding the star anise. Now, star anise is you find it in the spice rack area, and it's basically it looks like these little tiny black like stars that fell off a pine tree almost,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's sort of the dare I say licorice cinnamony taste that you taste in a pho broth.
Okay,
that would probably be, in my opinion, the hardest thing to probably find on here. It, you know, I was actually stoked when I found it at Whole Foods. But like I said, at Whole Foods, you can go to the meat deli aisle. They've got their little frozen and little frozen meat section right there by the deli. They got a big sign that says beef bones for broth. You can go pick up a couple bags of that if you want. Now, for Roy's recipe, I was only making for my wife and I. Roy's clearly making for like him and 10 homies. So if you want to stick to this recipe, you will have a ton of broth. I hope you have a deep freezer and you can freeze most of it because there's no way in hell you're eating all of this. Anyhow, you're grabbing those bones. You're getting some ginger. You're getting some garlic. You're getting some scallions. You're getting some onions. You're getting some, you know, beef base or if you got like beef stock just to kind of add to what you're making. But basically you throw all this shit in a pot. And you walk away for at least 3 hours and just let it all walk over. And maybe, you know, if you have a little like sifter or something, sift the foam off the top, you know, but just let all that shit sit for 3 hours or longer if you want. Then you sift out all the bones and all that shit.
Now, is it boiling for 3 hours?
Simmering.
It's
simmering. Yeah. You get it to a
boil.
And then you'll simmer it. Right. And just close it. Go watch some movies. Go watch some Disney Plus. Binge whatever. You come back. You sift all that shit out of there. You got just broth. Now, obviously, if you don't have like multiple pots and things like that, that might make this recipe a little difficult for you. Again, why I also recommend at least having or halving Roy's recipe here, because unless you're making it for 10 people, that's a lot of stuff. Anyways, you do that, you order up. I ordered them on Amazon, the proper pho rice noodles. And again, I'll put all this up on our social media. I may even post it up on our blog, and I have photos and everything.
Maybe even like
for me making
we
it.
Might even be able to get it in the show notes.
Yeah.
For the podcast.
Yeah, I'll copy it in there and hopefully, you know, Roy doesn't get mad that we put his recipe on the internet. I won't call it Roy's recipe.
Roy, we're trying to help the sweaties get healthy, yeah, Roy, with on, your pho.
But there's that, and then you just get some ribeye or something if you want, or have them cut it up real nice and thin, or if at the wherever you buy your meat, if they've got like a Korean meat sort of bulgogi section, Whole Foods has that, so that makes it really easy to get some thin ribeye or whatever. You basically throw that in, you throw some jalapenos, you get your sprouts
right into the stock.
You get a bowl and you scoop in your broth, and then you throw your thin red meat that's been cut up. It'll cook right away in that hot broth. You throw in some green scallions, you throw in some sprouts, all the stuff when you go get pho that's just like they bring on on a little plate with you, some limes. Then you get, you know,
this is so easy.
It's so easy. You want your sriracha, you want your fish sauce, whatever you want, load it up in there and just, you're good to go, you know? And I ordered the rice noodles on Amazon. They were here in a day.
I'm sure Whole Foods has proper pho rice noodles too.
They did. They didn't have what I wanted, 'cause I didn't want Thai noodles. I didn't want pad Thai noodles. So, it was a little hard for me.
I wanted pho noodles.
I didn't want, yeah.
I got you.
I'm a little like, I got to stick to the script on that. Anyhow, I have a freezer full of broth. I can defrost it. Bone broth is also really good to like warm up and sip. You know, it's got
very good for you.
It's got all kinds of healing properties in it, all kinds of good fats in it. My wife, I made a lot of, oxtail stews and stuff for her after she had Harper for the healing process and everything. And just drinking like chicken broth, and I'm a big, big proponent of making bone broth at home. It's the easiest thing, grabbing a chicken and some celery,
just like
and
baby carrots, Yoda.
And just throw it in a pot and let it cook all day, and then sift it out and just keep that broth and drink it. Anyhow, I was really happy with how this recipe turned out.
I know when you're stoked on what you're cooking is because you start slamming me with picks.
I know.
You really do. I'm like, why did Steve just send me a picture of thinly sliced ribeye, just like a totally unprovoked thinly sliced ribeye? And then I'm like, oh, I bet he's about to do something crazy. And then like an hour, not even an hour, like 10 hours later, I just get this beautiful bowl of pho. And you're like, it's pretty good. I'm like, God damn, dude, what have you been doing?
It's like, honestly, I threw a bunch of shit in a pot and walked away for several hours.
Tight.
Being honest, and then I sifted out everything on the top and then threw some shit in the broth and cooked some noodles, man. That's really, I mean, it's truly like, and that's my big thing. And I know I did an episode of one of Knapsack's podcasts years ago talking about cooking, and I've always been a big proponent of cooking. So many of my friends, so many people I know, they seem to have this fear of cooking in the kitchen, and I totally get it. You know, I have those days too where I'm just like, I'm not feeling it. I don't want to, right? But 90% of my time I'm going, it's so easy. It's so easy. And
it really is. You've made me not afraid of it.
It shouldn't be. It's like learn. I said this on Knapsack's show. Take two recipes. Learn them. Learn them to the point where you don't even really need to have the recipe. You don't even have this cookbook out anymore, because you just know the process of it, to the point where you get to a point where you don't even necessarily have to measure, like, you yeah. know, just looking at the thing, how like you can just, and the, it's one of those things where it's just like the more you do it, the more you get comfortable with it, like, you know, and there's nothing better than doing something and making something and feeling really happy and excited and proud of it, and like at the end of the day, you're the judge of it. Fuck everybody else. You made it, you sit down, you eat it. And it's like, that was bomb, or I could have done this and I could have done that. So next time, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to tweak it the next time I do it. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. It's nothing's better than just sort of making that and then sitting down and enjoying it. And then, of course, the sharing of it with your friends and family and everybody, it turns into a communal thing. And that's what eating and cooking is all about at the end of the day. But so many people are so scared to do it. And I think a lot of it has to do with people think it's A, too much work, and B, like, oh, I can't do that, or it won't taste good. And it's just like, no, it's not it at all.
You know, the big thing when you started pushing, when I moved into our house,
right,
you know, I really tried to like get into grilling and trying to cook more. And Sarah and I, now we cook almost every dinner. We don't order out until the weekend is when we order out. We try to cook every single dinner. And one of the big things you taught me is like, don't be afraid of the seasoning.
Yeah.
Like, don't be afraid of garlic powder. Don't be afraid of, you know, chopped garlic, onion, cracked pepper, like a healthy pinch of salt. Like, don't be afraid of that. Like, when you're doing a pound of meat, it's not two things on the grinder. You can do like five. It's okay. Yeah. Like, and I think that for me was my big opening. I was eating such bland food because I didn't want to oversalt. I didn't want to overdo it. So I was like, I don't know these flavors well enough because you're not cooking. But I've learned now, it's like, oh, like you kind of can't fuck it up. If you know
you'll know when you've done too much salt. Like you'll fucking know.
Yeah. You'll know when you've broken the wheel.
Yeah.
Like when I'll grill burgers, I know when I'm like, these are gross. Like the oven wasn't hot. The grill wasn't hot enough. And like, they just sat there and kind of like became lukewarm gray patties. Like I know. Like, I know when I fucked up. And I think I would encourage everybody to, I just know it. There's gotta be some people that are listening at home right now that are like, I'm going to try and make some healthier choices in 2021. And why not start with a fun recipe? Why not try cooking a little bit? Because that's the thing. It's easier to eat healthy if you like making healthy stuff, and you at least can make the healthy stuff that you like. That's a big thing too. We all like healthy foods, but sometimes we don't know how to make them and we don't want to try. And we're like, well, I guess the only thing I can make is like a Trader Joe's like Caesar salad. Well, and it's like,
there's that. And it's like, dude, I've been on every diet. Is like, I can remember being in Weight Watcher meetings with my mom when I was like 8 years old. Like, I have been on like, you name it. I've done it. I've done the cabbage soup like thing when I was 12. You know what I mean? Where like I spent 3 months breakfast, lunch, and dinner eating cabbage soup. Like, I've done all of them. And at the end of the day, when it's worked when I'm not like limiting myself to like, okay, I get a half a square of cheddar, I get a hard boiled egg, I get two saltine crackers, I get like all these things, right? And it's like, I always did better when I was cooking in the kitchen and making my breakfasts and my lunches and my dinners, and in making them to be enjoyable and using all kinds of ingredients and fresh ingredients and things like that, to where like I'm eating healthy. And so what? I have some rice with my dinner, but like, look at all the vegetables I've had all day and all of these things. It's like everything neutralizes and counterbalances it all, you know? And you end up doing better, at least for me personally, when I'm doing it like that and I'm not sort of limiting myself to this extreme, weird, not normal, will never last. It's if you need to lose a bunch of weight to get into a suit for a wedding in like 3 weeks, and that's that. But none of it is sustainable. And it's all about just sort of the long, right? It's the long haul. It's the long game plan, you know? And I think that that's the way at the end of the day you'll make it to the finish line.
I think that anybody that's listening that is trying to do this for the new year, hit us up, message us. We want to chat. I'm happy to chat about my love of cycling. Some of the things I do to stay motivated, because that's my strength is staying motivated on the fitness side of things. I love the gym. I love riding my bike. I love going for walks.
I love going for walks and that and hiking, but like going to the gym just sounds like hell to me.
It's all about, it's a ritual. It's the same thing. Exactly what you're saying there. Like, get in the kitchen, you boil it, you do this thing. For me, especially with cycling, right? It's ritualistic. Like, before you go to bed, I put out my water bottles. I put my water bottles by my keys and my wallet. I have my little like tablet that I'm going to put in my water. I place it out. My headphones are like ready to go. I lay out my bibs, my jersey. I pick everything out that I'm going to wear. I check the weather. I make sure that like no matter what, I'm not going to walk out there and instantly be freezing. You know, that's a like, dude, how many times have I gone out for a ride and I'm just like, oh man, it's freezing and I'm not going to ride. And I just walk inside and I go fall asleep on the couch. It's about just sort of training yourself, knowing that when you're done, you're going to feel better having done it. Like how many times have I called you at the end of the ride? And I'm just like, woo!
Oh, every time.
It's like every time you're I'm like, just like,
ripping past your house, bro.
Rimmed our house, bro. What up? Boop, boop. Like, just like you're like stoked by the end of it because you're like, I'm done. My blood's flowing. My legs feel good. You're going to be hungry, and nothing feels better than doing that and then making a healthy choice for a meal. Oh, man. Like, when you hit that combo and you get dialed in, you get really proud of that. And I'm excited for people to follow along on this journey for the next. For the next month with you. And anybody doing it at home, hit us up. Let's chat about it. Like, this shouldn't be something that is not that it's embarrassing to go on a diet or that it's like embarrassing to want, like, it should be, you should feel encouraged that other people are doing it. I know you are not embarrassed. I'm saying for the people listening at home, like, it is. We always jokingly say like big sweaties, big this, big that. Dude, first of all, it's all love, you know, and you be whoever you want to be. There's no, we're not saying you got to make any kind of life choices, but I know when Steve gets into the groove, he gets like really, really, really dialed in with it. And I'm excited for people to listen along now that we're not just talking about Star Wars, but for people to listen along about how dedicated you get to this side of your lifestyle. I'm proud of you, man. 5 pounds. Good job.
Thanks, buddy. You're looking trim, dude. You're looking trim.
I mean,
you've lost some LBs.
No, dude, I'm actually getting,
you still got tiny. Your guns. You got your guns.
I'm getting back to bike tiny though, where I get like my weird, like skinny ass arms, little pot belly. And then like my, just like, tree trunk legs.
Just gotta get them kettlebells, man. Just get them kettlebells. Do some swinging in the backyard. Get them guns back. You were swole the last 2 years.
Bro, everyone on our show, there were a couple of days when I watched them like, they look nuts. I think being a buff like pop culture guy is weird. I actually think it's weird. Like, there's a couple of dudes that are like yoked that talk about pop culture, and I'm always like, doesn't work.
It's bizarro world.
It is bizarro world.
Can you talk about sports?
That was all for the sake of making a joke. Obviously, there are plenty of buff people that can love pop culture. That's not a real thing. That's just for the sake of jokes.
We're fucking gatekeepers over here, guys. You stay out of here, you buff nerds.
Yeah, come on, bros. Nah, dude, go rip a phone book. Quit getting mad about Star Wars canon. Go rip a phone book. And get your creatine in. No, man, I'm curious to see, because I'm riding a lot. I'm riding my bike a lot, and that is, it's a new sort of like, I'm getting addicted to it again in like a real, and we'll see how long that sticks, but I can tell that it's like kind of, it's good, man, because it's the opposite of creative work.
Right.
You know, like it's there's
good. It's,
nothing.
But it's good. It's good for the brain. It's good for the mind. It's good to sort of help you like from, because you and I are very similar. We can get very self-involved with our head and sort of let the wheel spinning and sort of get neurotic and, and have, you know, thankfully you and I think, to our wives' benefit, have the last several years been sounding boards for each other for our insanity, so that our wives don't leave us. But I think that sort of you riding your bike and doing all that stuff and clearing your head, that's not creative work, but also is a healthy choice that's making your body feel good. It's also doing, you know, you're able to really take some personal stock and exercise those demons, for lack of a better term, in terms of that neurosis.
Yeah. For sure. If you guys are listening at home, we're going to try and throw these recipes in the show notes. We're going to be posting a little bit about it on our Instagram stories. You know, this is really more for private personal conversations on the podcast, but if you're looking for the recipe, we're going to do our best to get it out there. Just look up on Google Fo Them Hoes, Roy Choi. I'm sure it already is up there somewhere. But again, like, whatever you're doing to stay healthy, to make those choices this year, keep it up. We believe in you. We want you to be the best version of yourself. Even if your resolution is, I want to watch more movies, whatever it is, we hope that it's helping you achieve what you want to achieve this year after the year that we just had. We're going to keep thrusting forward and being positive, good arbiters for luminous lifestyle on the Black Series Rebels. Steve, if the people want to find you at home, where can they find you?
You can find me at Rex Manning on Twitter. And if you want to hear what I thought about The Godfather Part 3, The Coda, Death of Michael Corleone, check me out on Letterboxd.
You can find me at Alex_Backus on Twitter or at AlexBaggs on Instagram, or go to www.alexdoesstuff.com for all of my creative work, writing, directing. That's what I do for my day job. I am a writer-director. See, living that resolution lifestyle. With that being said, guys, we will see you next week on BSR. Later.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, man. Evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.